From news across the world to events in your community, hear about it all on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us here on WKOK Sunrise. You'd think I'd have this piece of paper ready every Friday. I have to reach down and get it at the last second. But here's what it says. Movie Mike McGranahan, professional movie critic, staff writer for Screen Rant, and a member of the Broadcast Film Critics Association, Online Film Critics Society, also a staff writer for Ranker, and that's a big deal. That's broadly known globally, so that's a kind of a big thing. And he's one of the individuals who votes on Critics' Choice Awards, and so we're going to talk to him about winners. Shortly at Aisle Seat on Twitter, and his appearance sponsored by the Campus Theater Lewisburg. Let's start out with your review of The Upside.
In The Upside, Bryan Cranston plays a quadriplegic in need of a personal caretaker. Just to irritate business manager Nicole Kidman, he picks the least qualified person he can find. That turns out to be an ex-con, played by Kevin Hart. Both men end up benefiting from the arrangement. Hart learns how to be responsible, while Cranston learns how to enjoy life again after the tragedy of his accident. Nicole Kidman, meanwhile, learns that even when you're an Oscar-winning actress, you can still get stuck playing second banana to two male co-stars. The Upside is the very definition of a dramedy. It has some moments that are hilariously funny and others that are borderline heartbreaking. The movie gets that mixture right most of the time, but not always. Some of the comedic elements are too broad to bump up against the more serious elements. Strong performances keep things afloat during the occasional rocky moments. Kevin Hart gets a very different kind of role, and he nails it, nicely showing how desperate his character is to prove his worth. Bryan Cranston is obviously robbed of movement here. He has to convey his character's emotions through facial expressions and his voice. The man is brilliant, so of course he does that beautifully. The Upside is occasionally predictable and occasionally formulaic. It's also touching, uplifting, and a real feel-good movie. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 3 downsides.
Oh, 3. I thought we were headed for a 3.5 there.
It's a little too formulaic at times, and like I said, some of the moment, there are a couple scenes where they definitely want Kevin Hart to show his broad comedy side, and I think those moments go just a little bit too far in that direction because there are some more serious themes here. When he's in a shower and can't figure out how to turn off all the spray nozzles and he's getting soaked, I mean, that's just a little too slapsticky for everything else that's in the movie. But I have to admit, it won me over. The performances are really good, and even if it's a little bit cheesy at times, you do walk away feeling really good and really uplifted.
All right, so it's a good film. And no surprise to you, Brian. Bryan Cranston puts in a stellar performance here.
He does. He's really great. I think he's one of the best actors working today. In this role, he's in a wheelchair the entire time or in bed. And, of course, all he can do is move his head and talk. And yet he gives a very full-bodied performance in spite of that.
Why didn't we hear much about him until Breaking Bad?
I don't know. He's been around forever, but Breaking Bad was the show that finally made people sit up and say, oh, wait, I know who this guy is now. And I never watched Breaking Bad, but I'm so glad it happened because I'm a big fan of him in the movies that he does. So good to see him getting that recognition.
I know when I was watching the series, it became clear as Bryan Cranston's role in Breaking Bad grew and evolved, and he changed and became meaner and different and became what he was in the film. You had to keep reminding yourself that it's the same actor that took us from this mild-mannered high school teacher who was kind of a pushover to what was his nickname? It was scrawled on the wall one time. I forget the name. It'll pop into my head later.
But
you didn't see it. Okay. But really tough character, and he had evolved through the years in that manner. So okay,
and he can do that. He's so good. He can evolve a character like that over time.
Okay, and playing second fiddle to two male leads. Not a terrible place for Nicole Kidman to be in these circumstances.
She gives a good performance. I mean, her character is basically there as a plot device to get Kevin Hart hired, and then there's something else that sort of happens I don't want to give away. It's interesting because right now, in limited release, Nicole Kidman has a movie out called Destroyer, where she completely transforms herself. She's the lead character. She's this alcoholic, drugged-up cop who's trying to solve a murder and get through this haze of what's going on in her head. And she is so brilliant in that movie. But then she's also got this movie coming out where she's just playing second fiddle to these two guys, and she's just sort of there as the potential love interest. And, you know, it's a shame. I prefer seeing an actress of her caliber in a role that's really going to give her something to do.
Does The Upside need her there?
Well, I'm a believer that any movie is made better by the presence of Nicole Kidman, but, you know, this is not necessarily a role that required an Oscar-winning actress. You know, they could have found a lot of people to do it. I'm not saying that she's bad, and I don't fault her in any way. Mm-hmm. I just think that the film underuses her, which is unfortunate, because when you have somebody as good as Nicole Kidman, why wouldn't you use them?
All right, so upside, three...
Three downsides.
Three
I locked myself into this thing like 20 years ago, and sometimes I can't come up with a really clever thing to give the movie, so that one's, I admit, is pretty lame, but...
That's fine. That's all right. We'll use it. It works out. All right, so that's in the theaters now.
Yes.
You can go see that now. Critics' Choice... Oh, I'm sorry. New movies. We always do those next. What's new in the theaters these days?
Well, my sponsor, the Campus Theater, has a movie called Free Solo, which was number two on my list of the best documentaries of 2018. This follows a guy who climbed El Capitan, which is a 2,000-foot-high rock formation in Yosemite Park, National Park, and he did it all without ropes. And this movie follows him as he prepares for this very dangerous thing and completes it. And I have to tell you, even though you know from the start that he survived it, you will be gripping your armrest the entire time. It's a really extraordinary documentary. That's called Free Solo. And then the other new movie we have opening this weekend is Glass, the new one from M. Night Shyamalan. You may remember back in, I think it was 2000, he had a movie called Unbreakable with Bruce Willis and Samuel L. Jackson. And then about 2 years ago, he had another movie called Split with James McAvoy. And in the last 20 seconds of Split, Bruce Willis comes in and the revelation is made that this whole movie Split has been the setup basically for an Unbreakable sequel. And so that's what Glass is. It's kind of like a half a sequel to Unbreakable, half a sequel to Split. But Bruce Willis is back, James McAvoy is back, Samuel L. Jackson is back.
And what if you've seen neither of those previous films, which is my dilemma?
You will probably be lost on this one, I am presuming.
Okay, so go get them on whatever pay per you can find them at.
Right.
And then watch Glass. So, and people are talking about Glass positively?
The early reviews have been actually kind of poor, so we'll see what happens when audiences get their look at it starting today.
All right, we'll keep an eye on that. M. Night Shyamalan, always out with interesting films, so if you don't see one that you think is fantastic, just stand by, because you know another one's going to come out. Critics' Choice Awards winners, some of the folks you vote for win?
Yes, these were given out on Sunday night last week by the Broadcast Film Critics Association, of which I'm a member. The show is broadcast on the CW network. We gave Best Picture to Alfonso Cuarón's Roma, which is a Netflix movie. They showed it in theaters, but you can also stream it right now on Netflix. So that won Best Picture. Best Actor went to Christian Bale for playing Dick Cheney in Vice. The Best Actress Award resulted in a tie, which rarely happens at award shows. Glenn Close won Best Actress for her performance in The Wife, and she tied with Lady Gaga for A Star Is Born. So we had two winners in the Best Actress category. Best Supporting Actor went to Mahershala Ali for Green Book, and Best Supporting Actress went to Regina King for If Beale Street Could Talk.
All right, and what do you think of the tie in the women's category there?
I loved it because Glenn Close and Lady Gaga both gave phenomenal performances. They're both completely worthy of the awards. It was a nice moment, and I love the fact that we were able to recognize two exceptionally strong performances in the lead actress category. It was such a good year for leading actresses, so the fact that we had a tie and could celebrate both of them equally, to me, that makes me very happy.
And when you say a tie, you mean that of the 800 critics that are part of this group, or X number, 400 for this and 400 for her.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it just came down to a tie.
It wasn't one vote either way.
Apparently not.
Did you do a recount? All right. Never mind. All right. Well, fantastic. Okay. Well, two great, great female actresses. So we're always glad to see that they get honors they deserve. And for Lady Gaga, her film career is going to become, it looks like that's going to turn into something of note also.
It really could. She showed in A Star Is Born that she has the acting talent and that she can carry a picture. So I think if she wants to continue acting, the opportunities will be there.
All right. So the Critics' Choice Awards winner, so you can get lots more about them at therap.com. Everything you would want to find out there is always there. Ghostbusters are returning. Real quick here, we have a couple minutes.
Yeah, there's going to be another new Ghostbusters movie, and it's going to be directed by Jason Reitman, the man who directed Up in the Air and Juno. And what's interesting here is that he's the son of Ivan Reitman, who directed Ghostbusters. And Jason promises that this movie is going to have a, well, we don't know for sure who the cast is going to be. It's not going to be the four women who were in the Ghostbusters reboot a couple years ago. So we don't know if Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd and them will be back. But he says that this movie will be a continuation of the first two Ghostbusters movie. It will be set in that universe, as they say.
Right.
So that's coming in, I think it's next year or the year after. So there will be a new Ghostbusters on the way.
All right. And two new MIs.
Yes, this week Tom Cruise and director Christopher McQuarrie announced that they will be making two more Mission Impossible movies that will be released back-to-back over the course of two summers. I don't know how they're going to top Mission Impossible Fallout. The stunts that Tom Cruise did himself in that movie, I don't know where they're going to go from here, but I can't wait to find out.
Well, and everybody gave that announcement a thumbs up. Rob, our producer's happy. He likes those films with his wife, and my lovely bride and I like to see those films at the theater is preferable, and so that's good news for action films. These are a little over the top, but somehow still borderline believable, you know. Mm-hmm. Like the Fast and the Furious, they kind of lost you a couple of films back, but these are always somehow, it always seems like a plausible conspiracy that's unwound with lots of action. Movie Mike, thank you so much. What are you going to see today?
I'm off to see Glass.
All right, you're going to see that new film that's out there. All right, well, good. We'll look for that review coming up soon on the Aisle Seat, just aisleseat.com. That's
right.
His main website. At Aisle Seat is the Twitter handle, and the entire shebang this morning, sponsored by the Campus Theater, campustheater.org.